Our text tonight is from the 17th chapter of Luke. You will find it on your programs, and you'll also see it on the big screen behind me. I'll just read it. You can follow along. It's a pretty well-known passage. It has a pretty well-known phrase in it. From Luke 17, "Once, having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, 'The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you.'" The kingdom of God is within you. That's the one that people know, people quote a lot. What's happening here is that the Pharisees, you know who the Pharisees are, right? Somebody describe the Pharisees to me. Religious, that's the code word, right? They were really, really religious people. They were very zealous. They were actually kind of a revival movement of their day, but they were really, really into the law, to all the rules that we find in the Old Testament about the best way for people to live and such. And they really were extreme in how they practiced them. And they didn't like Jesus very much because Jesus tended to preach in a different way. Okay, pop quiz. Particularly for those of you guys who've been around nightlife for some time, what was the opening statement of Jesus' ministry? What was his thesis statement? When he showed up and he started preaching, what was the headline that he said? Dawn?
The kingdom of God is at hand.
The kingdom of God is at hand. Very good, very good. All right, the kingdom of God is at hand, or in some translations, the kingdom of God is here. So he showed up and he said, the kingdom is here. It's now. It's happening. And the religious people of his day thought otherwise. They thought that what we need to do is to do our religion really, really well. Because God is being a little standoffish. And once we do it well, once we complete it, a time will come when the Lord will come to us and he will reestablish Israel and we'll be a kick-butt nation again and we'll kick out the Romans and this will be really cool. We'll have this glorious kingdom on earth. And that's how it's going to happen. But this upstart, Jesus came along, and he said, no, the kingdom is here. The kingdom is now. Here we go. This is the kingdom. And so the Pharisees didn't like that very much. You see the clash of understanding? And therefore, the Pharisees were kind of taunting him, as they often did, and saying, so when exactly is this kingdom going to show up? You know, when are we going to see this thing that you keep talking about? Ha, 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 ha. What a schmuck. That's kind of what they were saying. That's the amplified version. And Jesus responds to them, well, you know, it doesn't come with your careful observation. It's not something that you're going to be able to see and study like you would other things. When Jesus said the kingdom of God was here, was at hand, it probably excited a lot of the people of his day because they thought that their material conditions, their political conditions would be changing because they were a nation in occupation. The Romans were occupying them. They probably envisioned political overthrow and stuff like that. But Jesus said, no, no, no. The kingdom I'm talking about is within you. It comes from the inside. It's not political in structure. And dare I say, it's not religious in structure either. Because when Jesus continued to teach, he made it sound like, well, it's really not so much of a religion in the way that you guys commonly understand it. And Jesus testified to what he said by doing, you know, like a bunch of miracles and stuff, which really got under the skin of the religious people of his day. And more than that, he empowered his followers, this crew of people called the disciples, to do the same thing. They went around and preached the same message. The kingdom of God is here and now, and here, we're going to heal some people and kick out some demons and stuff. We're going to do the same thing that Jesus did. And an observer during those days might have looked at this situation and said, well, if the kingdom of God is within them, then all the miracles, all the freedom, that must be what it looks like when the kingdom of God leaks out. You could see somebody saying it that way. It's like, well, if the kingdom of God is within them, it's getting out, and the ways that it's getting out is pretty stinking impressive. And really, I think that's a pretty fair way to summarize almost everything I understand about what it's like to follow Jesus in this world. The kingdom of God is within us, and what we do is we get it out into the world. I think that's a pretty fair description of almost everything I understand. Because building the kingdom of God, as I understand it, is not about building systems of rules. It's certainly not that. It's not about building structures. It's not about building political structures or religious structures. It's not even about building churches, institutions, traditions, customs, nothing like that. Building the kingdom of God is about getting people, getting individual people to flow in the things of the kingdom. Getting the kingdom to flow out of you. That's really what building the kingdom is about. To get you to flow in the kingdom of stuff, like love, right? Like freedom, like doing miracles, stuff like that. Getting you to flow in the kingdom of stuff. That's what building the kingdom looks like. And that's probably what building the church should look like. Occasionally at Nightlife, at special junctures, such as the new year, we reflect a bit on what we're doing and how we should go about doing it. And this recommends that we ask some basic questions like, what are we? What makes a church, after all? You know, what really makes a church? What should a church be doing? Why should we have a church anyway? And every once in a while, we ask these basic questions, try to revisit them, and come up with sensible explanations based on what Jesus taught. And many of the answers that we come up with are anchored in the sort of text that we have for tonight and the conversation that surrounded this teaching about Jesus. So I'd just like to share tonight, for orientation here at the new year, three simple things. Three simple things that we carry away from Jesus' description of the kingdom of God and how it is to be built and why we do what we do, how we do it. Three very simple things. First, as it says in your bulletin, if you'll read sort of the description of Nightlife that appears in there week in and week out, the first thing we're trying to do is to present the Jesus message without a lot of religious extras. We're just trying to say sort of what Jesus said and as far as we are able to get to the very essence of what he meant and to leave it at that, to try really hard not to add a lot to it. So we say this is just sort of presenting raw God. I was going to say it's about presenting, you know, naked God, but I thought that would be inappropriate. So I went with raw God. It's the best I could come up with. When Jesus said his thesis statement that the kingdom of God is at hand, I think implicitly he was saying two things. One, he was saying that what he was about was a kingdom as opposed to an institution. It's a kingdom. Church, the word church is mentioned twice in all the Gospels. The word kingdom is mentioned something like 127 times. Right, so he really wasn't talking very much about church as we understand it. So whatever Jesus was building, it's not a thing that you qualify for. It's a thing that you get overtaken by, right? Think about the difference between an institution and a kingdom. An institution is something you try to get inside of, right? Try to qualify for membership, so to speak. And Jesus never talked about it like that. He said that the kingdom is something that kind of sweeps through the world, kind of sweeps through your life, and he encouraged you to get involved. But he didn't talk very often about membership requirements or things like that. It's something that overtakes you. Two, and relatedly, this kingdom is here. The kingdom of God is here. It's kind of a way of saying God is here. You don't have to earn your way to God. He came to you. And that would have been an extraordinarily revolutionary message in his day. God has come to you. God is not measuring you. He's not all standoffish and saying, when you get it right, you can come visit me. That was absolutely not what Jesus taught. He said, hey, God's here. He's with you now. What are you going to do about it? That was kind of more what the Jesus message was. So the kingdom of God is something that overtakes you, that's sweeping through the world, and God is here now, independent of what state you're in, loser. This changes almost everything we understand about religion. You don't have to do things to earn your way into God's graces. You're already in God's good graces. Believe it or not, no matter where you're coming from, no matter how you're living your life, you're already in God's good graces. He already loves you very, very much. He's already reaching out to you, ready to accept you as is. My favorite conversion story of the whole Bible. A lot of you already know this. What's my favorite conversion story of the whole Bible? The guy on the cross, right? When Jesus is dying on the cross, he's hanging next to a couple criminals. And one criminal kind of insults him, badmouths him. And the other criminal says, hey, leave him alone. I think this guy's innocent. He hasn't done anything to get killed. And then the criminal says to Jesus, remember me. That was the full extent of that criminal's religious life. One short little prayer to Jesus. Remember me. And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. That was all it took to get that guy converted. To get him in. I love that story because I think I could probably pull that off. Right? So we're already in God's good. God is already eagerly loving us, desiring us, and stuff like that. You don't earn your way to God. We're in. His good grace is already. The only question is, what are you going to do with them? Now that you've got God's grace, now what? And that's really the kingdom question for us. So the Jesus message is really good news. It's not dour at all. But let's face it, oftentimes churches preach a pretty dour version of the gospel, right? Get right with God or else. You ever heard something like that? Okay, if you have heard it, just, you know, that didn't come from Jesus. That's not the gospel that he preached. Jesus never said that. He never said, God is mad at you, but if you clean your house, he will relent. He never said that or anything like that. The most he ever said was this: God loves you even though you're a screw-up and a loser. We acknowledge that you're screw-ups and losers. But God loves you even though you're a screw-up. Just don't pretend that you're not a loser, because that will obscure God's love. So he does give that warning, right? Don't tempt people to think that God loves you because you're wonderful. Don't tempt people to believe that, because then people who don't feel wonderful will not believe that God loves them. You get it? So he says, don't pretend that God loves you just because you're so cool, because then the uncool people might believe that they have to be cool in order for God to love them. This is why the one sin that Jesus got all uptight about was what? Hypocrisy, right? That's the only sin he really ever got upset about. Hypocrites did not like. Prostitutes, thieves, extortionists, murderers, he liked them. He partied with them. And this is why. It has to do with the gospel and the nature of it. God loves you already. So just don't pretend that he doesn't love you because you messed up. Or let's not pretend that he doesn't love Kalani because Kalani is a screw up. And, you know, and we're not. And, well, I mean, everybody knows. There you go, yeah, community. Okay, so I kind of ramble through all of that to make this one point, because here's the thing. It's so easy to mess up that simple message. God loves you right where you are, no matter what. What are you going to do about it? It's so easy to get religious and to screw up that simple message. And the fact that it's hard to preach that message simply determines a lot of how we go about doing things at nightlife, in case you wondered. Because it's so easy to mess it up. It's so easy to preach religion instead of preaching Jesus' message. It's so easy to make people feel like they don't know enough. They don't know enough about the Bible or how Christianity works. It's so easy to preach that and make them feel that. It's so easy to make people feel like they don't work hard enough. It's so easy to make people feel that they're not clean enough to have access to God. Once you get cleaned up, then God can come into your life. No. God can come into your life, and if you want, that will really help you clean up, because he's really good at stuff like that. That's how it should work. It's so easy to screw up that message, isn't it? Those of you who have been following Jesus for a while, it's so easy to complicate things religiously. I remember this this really seminal, this foundational conversation I once had in the kitchen of the house I was, this dorm house I was living in when I was a sophomore in college. I was really trying to work out my faith and community and what it looked like in the world and stuff. And I was known as the house Christian, right? I was the one guy in the house that was a known Jesus follower, at first anyway. And we're having this conversation in the kitchen once about this difficult guy that was visiting the house. And he was kind of a new age martial arts philosopher, and he would come and try to preach his version of the gospel. And people knew that it wasn't my version of truth and love and stuff like that. So we got into a conversation about his alternate philosophy once in the kitchen, which with some, you know, some of my friends in the house. And one of them was complaining to me about this other individual. His name was Tom. It's like, that guy just really creeps me out. I don't think that what he's saying is true, and I don't think that his character is very good, is essentially what this guy was saying to me. He said, what do you think about it, Jordan? And my response was, I don't want to speak ill of anyone. Was that a Christian response?
Yeah.
What do you think? Pop quiz! Yeah. Don, you did so well last time. Is that a Christian response? By being honest. Sure. It was a problematic response. And here's why. Because when I said, I really don't want to speak ill of anyone, one, it told everybody that although I didn't want to speak ill, I, of course, thought ill. Right? Isn't that implicitly what I was saying? And then the other thing, the other reaction I got from the crowd was this. The friend I was speaking to, a great guy, his name was Andy, said to me, well, this makes me not want to talk to you. Because you've just made me feel bad for speaking about someone else, and you Christians always do that. And he was 100% correct, wasn't he? He just totally nailed me. What should I have said? He said, Jordan, what do you think about Tom and you know, the lies that he's preaching? And what do you think about Tom? I should have said, I love Tom because God loves Tom. You know, I think Tom has a hunger in him for the truth, and you know, he's wrestling with it like the rest of us. I don't necessarily agree with all of his points for this reason and the other, but that's how I should have said it, right? Instead, I went all moral on him. And I hurt the kingdom that day. I learned that. It's so easy to mess up the simple message, the only message Jesus ever preached, God loves you now. It's so easy to mess that up. And so we think hard about that. Just wanted you to know that. All this day, we're called to spread the kingdom message and not to build an institution necessarily, certainly not to build traditions. So we try to minimize customs and traditions in order to make it clear that they're not the point. That's something that we try to do. We try to minimize religion because really that's the enemy. Jesus hardly ever got upset about sin. Religion that gets in the way, he got very upset about that. So baptism styles, do you get dunked, do you get sprinkles? Don't care. Wine or grape juice at communion? Don't care. Except I don't like white grape juice. Who gets to preach? Whoever has a helpful word to preach gets to preach. That's all. How do we dress? Well, badly. But we don't care. But we don't care. Right? That's the thing. It doesn't matter. Because God loves you now. That's all I'm saying. You know, musical style, whatever works. None of this is central, really, to the message. All of that stuff is just kind of like whatever works. It's so easy to get away in the simple message. God loves you now, and we have one message. God loves you. It all comes down to this. Do you or do you not know that God loves you, that God is nuts about you? And that's the battle of life. Anyway, we try to make that clear. Go ahead. Give me a Pentecostal amen if you want to. The second thing is at services in our nightlife community, we have this value that we've come to call bringing game. Bringing game, which is a phrase that comes from the basketball world, right? It's like, you know, when you're playing in the playground, a pickup game, and somebody shows up, you say, hey, did you bring your game? Which is a way of saying, you can play with us, but you better be up for it. You know, did you come to play, or did you just come to fool around? So we talk about bringing game. And this relates to a bit about the kingdom being within you. The kingdom within us means that God has given each of us something of himself to express to the world. Each of you has something of God, has something of the kingdom in you to express to the world. The kingdom is in you. You got to get it out. Right? You got to come to play. You got to come to exercise the kingdom that flows through you. So sometimes we talk about spiritual gifts, what the Bible calls spiritual gifts. You know, people have gifts of teaching. Some people, not me, but some people have gifts of teaching, right? Some people have gifts of healing. Some people have gifts of baking. Can I get an amen? Those of you who actually ate the chocolate cake. Music is called a spiritual gift. Some people have gifts of leadership, stuff like that. Paul, the Apostle Paul, says that each of you have been given a spiritual gift for the common good. Everybody has something implanted in them from God. Even non-believers have stuff implanted in them by God that they're uniquely capable of doing, that's supernaturally empowered, and we need to get that out. And when we come together, you need to practice that and to practice practicing that. Mother Teresa said that when I look into the face of poor people, I see the face of Christ. Now, that was one way that she said, you know, it's God in people, and that's what I'm in love with when I reach out to them. So the kingdom is not an institution. It's a community of people. That's really how Jesus described it. So practicing the kingdom means that when we come together, each of you should express what God has given you to express. Andrew did a fine example of that at the opening of the service. He read something that he wrote. Journaler, gifted writer, a pretty clear thinker, and he wanted to bring that. He wanted to bring his game tonight and to share it because he thought that we were at a time it would be edifying for the group, right? And you know, he didn't do bad. He does okay, that kid. Rebecca, I sent out an email in the week and said, hey, what game are you guys going to bring? And she said, I'm going to bake a chocolate cake. All right, now that's game. That's what she had to bring to the community tonight. I often ask my leaders, who brought game tonight? By which I mean, who came tonight with a special song that they want to share, or a word from God, you know, some gift for the cafe, a dance, a poem, a special service, whatever. Whatever. But God has given each of you something to bring to bear. And that's really what our community gatherings should look like. Practically speaking, lots more could be said about it, but practically speaking, when we conduct a nightlife service, when we come together, we're trying to express the whole community. And the question is, if you're visiting, if you're checking us out, not do you belong here, but how can we make it so that you fit in? How can we make it so that you can get your bit of the kingdom into the flow of the kingdom in this place? That's really the philosophy behind it. I just wanted to say that. So who brought game tonight? Robin did. Good. So that's about 0.6% success. What game did you bring tonight? You brought something to eat. This is popular. And what else did you bring? Some of you gathered in prayer before the service. You'd like to share more about that later, which makes me think that maybe God said something to you, and you'd like to share that with the group later. This is wonderful, right? A little word from God. This is what I'm talking about, and this should happen every night. You should come and practice your gifts. Thirdly, we should be taking the message of Christ to the world. You know, God loves you. We should be carrying that to all sorts of unlikely places. Once we start doing the kingdom stuff, all that's left is to share it with the world around us. And the question is, how do you release the kingdom of God in more people? How do you get more people to enjoy the kingdom message and to do the kingdom stuff? When I travel, you know, to different parts of the world, to different people groups, when I get there, I look to see what God has placed already among those people. And I try to get it out into the open. That's really missionary work, as I define it. That's really what we try to do. I'm not going to make them try to look like me. I'm trying to discover what God has made them to be and help them birth it out if I can. Invariably, like we work with a lot of tribal peoples, like in Bangladesh, northern Thailand, places like that. Invariably, their religions, which I think are false religions, invariably their false religions are about trying to please fussy gods. Trying to please fussy, sometimes fearsome gods, and most of their religious practices are about that. So my preaching is very, very easy. No. Yeah, there is a God, you know, one. He's not fussy. The kingdom of God is here. He loves you right now. You don't have to do any of this weird stuff. And in fact, he's given you good things to use and to bless the community that you're in. And if I'm doing my job right, sometimes I can see and name those good things that God has given them. And that's how the conversation starts. That's good news to carry to people. I always feel that when I go, I actually have good news to share as opposed to a threat. There is a God There's one mighty God. He's a little pissed right now. Clean up or you're going to get it. That's not very good news, is it? You don't want to hear that on a Saturday morning. Right? We have good news to share, and we try to get that out. It's very enjoyable. Almost everything we do around here falls into one of these three categories. Getting out the simple, unadulterated Jesus message, which is deceptively hard to do, to keep it simple. But a lot of what we do falls into that category. Or two, releasing the kingdom in and through individuals. A lot of what we do pertains to that. Or third, taking it to the world. Most of what we do falls into those three categories. In the service, we try to have all of those elements at work at one time. We have these small groups, which are really the backbone of our community. They meet almost every day of the week. This is where we meet together in smaller numbers. We get to know one another. We practice the gifts that God has given in each of us. We build relationships, which are the way to get to know ourselves better, in addition to get to know other people. If you're not in a small group, I encourage you to check one out. We have all these special retreats. We do this thing called the Holy Spirit Retreat, where we talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts and what God has given you. And really, those retreats are to help you get that stuff out. And time and again, those are fabulous retreats. We'll have one coming up soon. We do lots of missions. Last week, Robert Puyu from Bangladesh, one of our missions partners and members of this church, spoke. He did a great job. He told you about how crazy it was to follow God and how wonderful. And he had a great story about a pig. Next week, we're having a healing service. We're just going to give a large portion of nightlife over to praying for sick and injured people who come. We do those every couple of months. And this is really the way to get the love out to the community. We just invite whomever to come. And, you know, we pray for God to heal them. And every time we do one of these services, we see some miracle of healing and probably a number of them. And this is also a way for us to practice the full range of gifts that God gives us, even the freaky ones. Like supernatural healing. We try to include even the freaky ones. Participating in these sorts of things is what I encourage you to do. This is how I try to build the kingdom of God. I try to get everyone to participate in these sorts of things. However God happens to lead you to participate in them. All the programs, the events, all the things we do are just there to make space for you to let the kingdom out. Because that's how I think you make a church. Do things to encourage people to let the kingdom out of themselves. And you don't have to do anything, but please just listen. And God might actually lead you to do something that you haven't tried before. He's here. He's present. The kingdom of God is here. God is present, and he just might give you some leading. If he does, follow it. Take your best guess. Move on your best hunch. That's how the kingdom grows. That's exactly how the kingdom grows, and that's exactly how you make a church. Listen to God. Do the thing that you think he might be leading you to do to get the kingdom out of yourself. That's how the kingdom is released into the world. It's the only way I know that the kingdom is released into the world, because the kingdom of God is within you. You got to get it out. So take a look within you. I bet you find something. Worship is an excellent way to practice the truth of God's love. So worship team is going to come back. We're going to end by singing just a few worship songs. Music is a great way to open up our hearts to the truth of God's love and that simple message. It's also a good time to listen and see if the Lord gives you some game to bring. So if you, like Robin and some of the other people who are praying before the service, hear the Lord say something to you, and it's something that maybe you know we should share with the group, maybe the Lord says to you something like, hey, I believe there's an individual here who is struggling with a corn on their big toe. Well, okay, you come and tell me that, and we try to bring it to bear for the good of the body, whatever it is that he happens to speak. Well, let's worship the Lord. Would you all stand with us?